This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam to this webinar bi-iznillahi ta'ala entitled Sha'ban under shutdown, Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we know that currently worldwide we are in crisis, Allah musta'an. For example, in South Africa, we are on day two of the national lockdown. This was started yesterday at midnight. You're not allowed to leave your house unless you are going out to buy some essentials, some groceries. You need to go to the hospital. Otherwise, schools are closed. Businesses are closed. Everything's on lockdown and the army has been deployed. In my lifetime, we've never ever seen this. When it came to the fall of apartheid, when it came to the elections and the release of Nelson Mandela from jail, and many people thought there would be a civil war, etc., etc., none of this occurred, subhanAllah. Now, you cannot drive down the road except that there's a soldier who might stop you. Where are you going? Where are you headed? Go back home. There's no need for you to go out, etc. Allahumma musta'an. I live in a complex here. I live in an estate, and they said that even leaving, even though you're not going out to the public roads, you're not allowed to jog even within the estate. You can't take your dog for a walk or anything like that. Allahu musta'an. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, unprecedented times, and the same in Australia, the same coming to the UK, the same with regards to our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia and many other places. India, subhanallah, India, 1 billion people, subhanallah, and they are also on lockdown. And we are in the month of Sha'ban. We don't know whether the month of Ramadan, whether we would be enjoying the Taraweeh every night. We don't know with regards to Salatul Eid. Maybe there would be Eid Salah. Maybe there wouldn't be Eid Salah in Jama'ah, in the large congregations that we are accustomed to. Allah musta'an. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, wa dhakir fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'mineen, and remind, for verily the reminder benefits the believers, insha'Allah. And so this halaqa, this majlis, it is nothing but a reminder for all of us. Some might be cooped up in an apartment building, 3 kids, 4 kids, etc. Sometimes it can get a bit stuffy. It can get a bit tough. Allahumma musta'an. What can we do? What can we do? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease in this time. We turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, Sha'ban under shutdown. So alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Sha'ban. We find that Usama ibn Zayd, the beloved of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, ya Rasulullah, I find that, you know, you fast a lot in this month. You are fasting a lot in this month of Sha'ban. Any specific reason, ya Rasulullah? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam states that dhalika shahr, it is this month here, that many people are in a state of ghafla with regards to it. Many people don't really give it its due. It's between the month of Rajab and the month of Ramadan. And so many people don't really give it its due. And people are in a state of ghafla with regards to it. But it's the month that the a'mal, our actions, are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I want my actions to be presented to Allah while I am fasting. While I am fasting. Subhanallah. Take note, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Number one, he is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he doesn't want his actions to go up except that he is in state of fasting. He would fast a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot in the month of Sha'ban. Subhanallah, what about myself and yourselves? Well, a'mal are going to go up. In what state are they going to go up? Number two, we learn from this hadith that there are times that are sanctified. They are more revered than other times. One of those months is this month here, the month of Sha'ban. We also find that, subhanallah, people are in a state of ghafla with regards to it. And look at the state we are in right now. The clubs are closed. The sporting events are all shut down. The clubs are closed. The discos, the nightclubs, all of the haram activities and the very haram activities, even the permissible activities, have been shut down. You are in your house. You are in your house. You have one of the best opportunities for you to reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this matter, which has enveloped the entire globe, for you to return back to Allah, for you to think, for you to ponder, for you to make istighfar, for you to make tawbah, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't do that, if Allah has presented to us a beautiful scenario wherein we could turn back to Him, and we still don't do that. Rather, we are busy with WhatsApp morning, evening, and night. Rather, we are sitting on Netflix morning, evening, and night, on YouTube morning, evening, and night, wasting our time. Then in reality, we have missed the boat with regards to this matter, as we will see very soon, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Ramadan, as we said, is also around the bend. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam maybe will fast a lot in this month of Sha'ban, so that he readies himself for the month of Ramadan. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, with regards to the month of Sha'ban, we've covered a little bit with regards to its virtues. Your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast a lot, walhamdulillah. And then more especially with regards to Sha'ban and shutdown, subhanallah. Remember, and remember well, that nothing happens in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the mulk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His mulk, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who willed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave permission with regards to this matter. And so coronavirus, COVID-19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in charge of all matters. That's number one. Number two, this virus itself, it is from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not work outside the will of, rather it works upon the will and the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no doubt, the actions of Allah, whether we understand them or not, the actions of Allah are full of hikmah and wisdom. There's a ilal behind them. There are reasons behind them. We might not know the exact reason, but we can pull out certain hikmas, certain wisdoms from them, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. That, subhanAllah, look at the world, it has come to a halt. Businesses, airlines, schools, universities, institutions, clubs, haram activities, halal activities, everything comes to a stop. People are in their homes. People are in, as we know, we call this technically an i'tikaf. You are in i'tikaf right now, walhamdulillah. Some are in hospitals, and even those who are in hospitals, they are alone. They are alone. Some are in the ICU intensive care unit, and they are also alone. Some have passed away in the last few days, and they passed away alone. Allahumma musta'an. One of our brothers, Sheikh Dawood Butt, he mentioned that his father fell ill recently. Nothing to do with COVID-19. His father fell ill, and they took him to hospital. When he was taken to hospital, nobody could be with him. They had to admit him to hospital and khalas. You don't know whether you are going to see this person again, Allahu musta'an. And some have mentioned that. I left my father, I left my uncle at the hospital. We were not allowed to enter. They admitted him, and that was the last time I saw him. Subhanallah, Allahu musta'an. And he says, he tweets, this person, he tweets and he says, you know, I wish that I spoke to him more when he was admitted. I felt that I'll see you in a few days' time. I'll see you in a few days' time on the other side of this door very, very soon. But never happened. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Yes, we say to people, and you find many messages going around, that don't worry, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen, etc., etc. Allah loves us. Yes, all of that in its place. We give people hope. We say, don't panic, don't go crazy, etc. No need for you to be depressed morning, evening, and night. Life continues, inshallah. We give that message, but don't forget the other important message. And what is that? That turn back to Allah, make tawbah, make istighfar, correct yourself, put your affairs in order, then yes, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, and Allah will make it easy, and this will not be like this for a long period of time, and have hope in Allah. That's all. That, Allahu musta'an, your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he saw the clouds gather in the distance, if he saw some heavy winds which were coming around, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face would turn. His face would turn. His composure would be completely different, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions, that he would be like another person, a different person. And they would say to him, Ya Rasulullah, you know, people get happy when they see the clouds and they see all of this coming and the lightning and the thunder, but you get a bit perturbed. You get a bit worried. Why do you do this? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because the people before, they were destroyed. These ayat of Allah, these signs of Allah, these soldiers of Allah destroyed people before. And so I get a bit perturbed. I get a bit worried. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe that's what's coming. Subhanallah, in comparison to some lightning and some wind and some thunder and gathering of clouds, imagine our current state, this epidemic, this pandemic, which has gripped the entire globe. Is it not on a much higher scale than those that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw? And he was perturbed. And he was perturbed. What about us? If we continue, as one of the mashayikh, Hassan al-Husseini, he sent out a video. He said that, I mean, what's going on? We just seem to be joking and joking and laughing and joking and jokes about COVID-19. You know, when we talk about Ibn Kathir and other scholars, when they talk about the Mongol onslaught and they talk about the disasters that befell the people before, when they wrote about those histories, that they would mention that in history, hindsight, yes, you know that on Wednesday, the entire city collapsed. The entire city came to an end. The Mongols entered and destroyed the people, etc. And they spoke about and they discussed and they mentioned, well, on Tuesday, people were at the theater and they were having fun. And on Monday, this woman, she was busy purchasing this and purchasing that and thinking that I'm going to be renovating my house and I'm going to do this. Little did they know that 3 days later, they wouldn't have a home. Allahu musta'an. 4 days later, they didn't know that all of that would have come to an end. That the Khalifa is sitting with his beautiful concubines and merrymaking and having fun and all of that. And a few days later, it was all ended. We're not saying that's going to happen with us. But the point of reflection here, that they were so steeped in a state of ghafla, that even when they were surrounded and the siege was upon them, they were still merrymaking and having fun. That right now people are dying. The least we should take is a lesson from this matter. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, even if we put aside the matter of the deaths, all they talk about only 0.2%, etc. Even if we put that aside, the fact that Allah's risala wa salat has reached us, the entire globe has come to a halt. Allahu musta'an. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take a lesson from the gathering of those clouds and the lightning and the thunder. Should I and you not take a lesson from all of these matters and decrease the sending around of our jokes and laughing and all of these matters? Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, that as has been said, that if a calamity befalls you, and this brings you closer to Allah, it gets you to put your ducks in order, it gets you to align yourself, it gets you to amend your wrongs, that relationship you had which was haram, you gave it up, the haram you are watching morning, evening and night, you gave it up, the ghiba and namima and the backbiting you used to involve yourself in, you've given up those matters, the zina you were involved in, you've stopped all of those matters, you've taken the wake up call, mashallah. If a calamity made you give up all of this here and made you renew your pledge with Allah, you started to read the Quran. I didn't know Arabic. I didn't know how to read Quran. You started an online course. You started learning from YouTube. Alhamdulillah. You started to open up the Mus'haf. You started to pray 5 times a day. Nothing else is stopping you. I got business. I need to go to work and I need to... Oh, no excuse now. You're at home. So you started all of this here. The ulama state that if a calamity brings you back to Allah, then in reality, this was a ni'mah from Allah, which was cloaked as a calamity. Outwardly, it looked like a calamity, but because it brought you to Allah, in reality, it's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ni'mah for you who came back to Allah. And it is a disaster and a calamity for the one who didn't come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَصِلُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَى الذُّنُوبِ وَتَرْتَجِي دَرَجَ الْجِنَانِ بِهَا وَفَوْزَ الْعَابِدِي وَنَسِيتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَخْرَجَ آدَمًا مِنْهَا إِلَى الدُّنْيَا بِذَنْبٍ وَاحِدِي. Now the poet, he says, you join one sin with another sin and you continue sinning and sinning and sinning. And then you have these false hopes, Allah is going to give me Jannatul Firdaus. Allah, you grant me Jannatul Firdaus. ونسيت أن الله أخرج آدما منها. And you forgot that Allah removed Adam from where? From Jannah. Why? Because of one sin. Because of one sin. Allah musta'an. So ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is why we have all of these issues. We need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah mentions, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that whatever calamity befalls you, it is due to what your hands have earned. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the giant, there was an earthquake in Medina al-Munawwara, or a tremor, and he said to the people, you people, you know what? You are the cause of all of this here. And if you people don't stop all of this, I'm going to leave Medina al-Munawwara. If you don't stop this here, I'm going to remove myself from Medina. He's going to leave Medina al-Munawwara and move out, subhanAllah. Umar, subhanAllah, the one who used to ask that Allah grants him death in Medina al-Munawwara, but he took this tremor, he took the earthquake as a sign that it is due to what we've earned with our hands. Allahumma musta'an. Humble yourself, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua. Wake up in the middle of the night, lift up your hands, turn to Allah when you are alone, that cry out your eyes in tears to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tadarru' before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Where's all of the wasitat, and where's all of the shufa'a, and where's all the intermediaries and the idols and this one and that one and this grave and that? Where's all of that now? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Seek forgiveness. Make amends. Those that you've not spoken to for ages, those that you've harbored enmity against, and you have some rancor in your heart against them, wipe this matter away. Wipe this matter away. A sister from Italy, she writes a letter to our brothers and sisters in the UK. And she says that, let me tell you, technically, you know, you are headed towards this here, that after a week, XYZ will happen. After 2 weeks, XYZ will happen. Those of you who are alone, you will wish that you had company. You wish that your adult children were with you. You're sitting all alone now, Allah musta'an. Then you realize also that these simple issues we have between ourselves, enmity and malice and jealousy and hasad and all of this. Yeah, what's the point behind all of this? What's the point behind all of this? You had the companion Abu Darda. When the Muslims had conquered Cyprus, they found Abu Darda to be sitting somewhere and crying. So they said, Abu Darda, we've conquered Cyprus. Why are you sitting and crying? I mean, what a victorious day. What a good day. Why are you sitting and crying? He says, because look at all these people. Look at all the prisoners. Look at all of the enemy that we've taken as prisoner, etc. Look at all that we've captured. Look at all of these people here. How cheap and how insignificant insan is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they leave off the orders of Allah. That these people were giants, these people were massive, these people were powerful, these people had azama and they had quwwa and strength. But when they left the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how cheap and insignificant they are, that they are our prisoners today, and we do to them as we wish, etc. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, that this teaches us a lesson that how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That who's in charge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in charge. We might think we are strong and we are this. We don't have a cure for this matter. Ajib. And what a message Allah sent us. It's not like malaria, you know, you hear in Africa and malaria, okay, well, you know, you see the mosquito, you avoid the mosquito, you put your nets, as long as the mosquito is not getting to you, you know, you are protected, you wore something, etc., covered yourself properly, the mosquito won't get to you, there's something in the water, so you avoid the water, you don't go swimming, you know, these type of things. Look at this one, subhanAllah, there's no cure. You can't see it. It's minute. It could be there. It couldn't be there. Maybe you catch it and you don't even know that you've got it. As it is, there's so few testing kits available. There's a shortage worldwide with regards to it. You might be carrying the virus and you don't know about it. You haven't seen any of the symptoms. It's been 4, 5, 7 days, etc. Allah musta'an. I mean, subhanAllah, a perfect storm. A perfect storm, Allahumma musta'an. The perfect virus, Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we realize that how insignificant, how fragile we are. Our world, how fragile it is, subhanAllah. How fragile, Allahumma musta'an. Something like this here halts everything. Who would imagine a lockdown? We know how, we know that when they talk about a public holiday in South Africa, when they talk about a public holiday, oh, a public holiday, another public holiday, you know, the economy is going to lose this amount of money, etc., etc. Imagine now 21 days lockdown and it's indefinite. 21 days and then we'll see after that what's going to happen, whether we extend it, whether we don't extend it, whether we broke the curve or not, as they say. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Nu'man ibn Bashir, he states, and look at the message of Nu'man ibn Bashir. He says that, halaka, destruction, woe to you, woe to you, that you continue sinning in the time of calamity. We can understand times of good, you know, you are young and, you know, you're doing all this, etc. You know, you're in the prime of your youth and you've got money, you've got time, you've got all everything going for you and you're busy sinning morning, evening and night. You only live once, as they say, Allah musta'an. And so you sin morning, evening and night. One might understand. But worse, the person where Allah has sent a message. You're in a state of calamity right now. There's an earthquake. There's destruction. People are dying. There's a disaster. There's a tsunami. You're in the middle of a disaster right now. You cannot put on the television. You cannot pick up your WhatsApp, except that you have COVID-19 messages 24/7. And still, you continue watching haram. Still, you are gossiping. Still, you are making issues and problems between yourself and the neighbor and your cousin and your uncle and the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. You're still doing all of this here. So, you know, man, Ibn Bashir says that woe and destruction to the person, halaka, what type of destruction you are in, that even at times of severity and distress and difficulty, you still continue sinning. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And so take heed with regards to this matter. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, and what a verse of the Quran, subhanAllah. It should make the hairs on our skin stand, subhanAllah. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Allah states, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا, that if only when our disasters and our calamities befell them and came upon them, if only they humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا. If only when the calamities befell them, they humbled themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they didn't. وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Rather, their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were too hard. Allahu musta'an. That even this message, even this calamity couldn't penetrate into that heart. The heart was too hard. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. And shaitan beautified their actions for them. مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whatever they used to do, well, you know what? I mean, you know, we are sinful people and we do this and we do that, etc. Jokes and all of this here. Let's continue. SubhanAllah. So what was the point behind all of this matter? You didn't even get the point behind all of this matter, that the hearts became hard. The hearts became dead. There was maskh of the heart. Allahumma musta'an. Allahumma sallim. Allahumma sallim. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he has this book here, Ad-da' wa-ad-dawa. Ad-da' wa-ad-dawa. Ad-da' means the ailment, the sickness, the illness. Wa-ad-dawa'. Dawa' is the treatment, the cure for this matter. And subhanAllah, in the last few days, I was reading this book and I found I had a marker in it that I started reading this book about 15 years ago, in our days of Medina University, 10, 15 years ago. Na'am, subhanAllah. And what a beautiful book, subhanAllah. What an important book. What a beautiful book. Ibn al-Qayyim talks about, somebody writes to him and says that, in fact, let's read the introduction. This entire book of about 300 pages is basically a fatwa of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. And we know that Ibn al-Qayyim was somebody who joined between ilm and also iman. Whenever he wrote, whenever he spoke, etc., you felt the spirituality of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. And so somebody writes to him and he says that, what do the ulama, etc., state with regards to somebody who's tried to give up sin? He's tried to give up sin, but he falls short and he goes back to sinning, and he finds that his heart you know, is not in the right place. And he always has these problems and falling into sin and leaving the sin and going back to sin. So what advice do you have with regards to this matter? Ibn al-Qayyim writes 300 pages according to this print here, subhanAllah. And so that was the reason for writing. And inshallah, in the next few minutes, we'll try to summarize the first 200 pages. The first 200 pages especially ties in with our discussion, the negative effects of sinning. The harmful effects of sinning, Allah musta'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us away from sin, Allah musta'an. Yes, sin, we will all sin. We will all sin, but continuation upon that sin. Sinning when Allah has sent us a messenger, this messenger here. Somebody asked the angel of death, why don't you send us any messengers? You just come suddenly out of the blue. Well, why do you do this? So the angel of death said, no, I send you many of my messengers. What messengers do you say? He said, well, look at the white hairs on your beard. Look at the white hairs on your head. He said, those are my messengers to you. Like everything else withers out. Like everything else, the plant outside there, it dries up and it withers down and then it dies. The same with regards to you. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim, he begins because he's talking about the ailment. And then he wants to talk about the shifa. He wants to talk about the treatment for this matter. So he says that every type of illness, every type of sickness, even COVID-19, every one of them, they have a treatment. There's a treatment out there. We might know it, we might not know it. Ibn al-Qayyim also mentions there are ailments of the body, there's ailments of the heart. Ignorance itself, it's also a disease. There's ailment for all matters, that there's cure for all matters, there's treatment for all matters except death, except the matter of haram, which is death. He talks about the Quran and the Quran being from amongst the best of cures, the best of treatments. And he mentions himself that Suratul Fatiha, I was in Makkah, was ill, and personal experience, I used Suratul Fatiha in treating myself, and what a good treatment it was, walhamdulillah. And so do not forget, it's the greatest surah in the noble Quran, Suratul Fatiha. He talks about dua, and he says that it's also a means, and he mentions that there's a long discussion he talks about with regards to the matter of dua, that the person himself, you know, what dua are you making? What's the wording of your dua? Certain types of wordings have a greater chance of being accepted. You are using the ism al-a'zam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When are you making this dua? The times that you make the dua also affect the acceptance or the non-acceptance of this dua. Is your heart into that dua? Are you really asking with a heart which is alive, a heart which is attentive? Or is it a state of ghafla, Wallah, give me this, Wallah, give me that, etc. What type of dua? Just like other types of medicine. When are you taking it? Are you following this prescription of the doctor, etc.? Are you taking it before meals, after meals, as was prescribed? Based upon that, it's going to have its effect, whether positive or whether negative. He talks about husnul dhan. Having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that you need to do action and then you have good thoughts with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be the one who doesn't do good deeds. And he says, no, I've got hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like they said to that sinner, why do you sin so much? He says, no, I sin because I have good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I know Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. And so I sin a lot because I have such yaqeen that Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. SubhanAllah, he says, this is devil's deception. This is devil's deception in reality. The good people, they do good and they fear maybe will be accepted, maybe will not be accepted. Good people, they do good and they have hope that Allah will accept. Right? They have khawf with regards to Allah. But those who involve themselves in evil morning, evening and night, they are the ones who seem to have these false hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that remember and remember well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has legislated for our life in this dunya, Allah has legislated certain punishments. You stole something which was worth 3 dirhams, your right wrist will be cut off. Three dirhams. You stole something worth 3 dirhams. Not so much of money. Your wrist will be cut off. He says, if that's in the dunya, punishment that Allah legislated in the dunya, what do you think about punishment in the hereafter? SubhanAllah. Jayid, one drop of alcohol you consumed, there's lashes that you will be given. What do you think about the hereafter? The head of the male private organ entered the female private organ in a state of haram. Just the head entered. There's the penalty of zina which will be applied. What do you think about the punishment in the hereafter? Allahumusta'an, right? So he talks about those people who think, no, it's all going to be fine. Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. End of story, all is well. Be careful. Yes, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, and he is also Shadidul Iqab. He is also severe in his punishment. It was said, supposedly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Jibreel, that Mikael, the angel Mikael, you know, he's never like happy. He's always like frowning, sad, etc. Why the case? Supposedly Jibreel responded and he says that he's been like this ever since the fire was created. Ever since the fire was created. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, your Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he was at a grave. They were digging up this grave to bury someone, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. And so while waiting, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down, and then he began to tear. He began to cry while they're preparing the grave for this person. And he says to the rest of the Sahaba, Ya ikhwani, limithli hadha al-yawm fa'a'iddu. Oh my brothers, for a similar day like this, prepare yourselves. For a similar day like this, prepare yourselves. And imagine we in a state right now, not to make anyone panic, but so that the message is received, that you take and you take the wake-up call from this matter. Imagine, subhanAllah, if one of us, la samahallah, if one of us gets COVID-19 and our health deteriorates, our family will not be around us. At the time of mort, at the time of death, nobody will be around us in terms of our family. We might be in ICU maybe for a week, maybe 2 weeks. Yesterday, the first person died of COVID-19 in South Africa. Yes, we know many more people have died of cancer and daily people die of TB. We know all of this here. But right now, the message which is worldwide is the message of COVID-19. The first death was confirmed yesterday in South Africa. Imagine nobody there. Imagine at the time of janazah, there's just two people and they are completely covered. At the time of your burial, the same with regards to that. Allahumusta'an, Allahumusta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya ikhwani, limithli hadha fa'a'iddu. For a day like this, prepare yourselves. Nobody is going to last forever. COVID-19 or no COVID-19. I was thinking the other day, Allahumusta'an, Jayid. I was born in 1980. And so this year, I will be 40 years old. When I talk about I finished school 22 years ago. Ya Allah, more than half of my life ago, subhanAllah. What's left? Maximum 20 more years. Maximum 20 more years at best. And we know how we eat. We know our lifestyle, etc., etc. We know the quality, even if we live that long. Allahumusta'an, Jayid. We know the average age span of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is plus behind the 60. You live beyond that, mashallah. You know, you got a bonus. We're all going to die one day. Look at your kids. We're going to leave them all behind, subhanAllah. But inshallah, we will all be reunited in that which is better than this dunya in the hereafter. But it's still a frightening thought. It's still a frightening thought. Allahumusta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The dunya in comparison to the hereafter, in terms of its value, in terms of time, length, etc. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, like, you take your finger and you put it into the ocean. Put it into an ocean, put it into the river and see what comes out. How much of water comes out? This here equals what remains on your hand, that one dot, one drop of water. They're there in comparison to the ocean which remains. This is the dunya. And that's the hereafter. This is the dunya and that's the akhirah. Allahumusta'an, Allahumusta'an. There's that famous story of Harun al-Rashid and Bahlul. Bahlul was this like clown or fool. People used to make fun of him, etc., etc. But many a times the words of Bahlul were very, very profound, full of wisdom. And so they saw Bahlul, Harun al-Rashid saw him there near a grave and he's sitting and he's around the grave. And Harun says, I mean, you Bahlul, you crazy guy, you know, what's going on? You're sitting here and stuff like this here. Bahlul ran and he jumped up onto a tree and then he points towards the palace. He points towards the palace of the caliph. Harun al-Rashid. And he says, in reality, ya Harun, you are the one who is majnoon. You are the one who is crazy. You are the one who is not right in his head. What are you talking about? Why are you talking to me like this? How can you address me in this fashion, O Bahlul? He says, in reality, ya Amirul Mu'mineen, you are the one who built that. You built that castle. Building the castle and spending time and money and effort and all of this here, building this castle. And you are the one who destroyed this one here. He points to the grave. And you destroyed that one there. And that castle, etc., you're going to leave it one day. And this is where you're going to come. You've built up that one which is temporary. And you have destroyed this one here, which is eternal. Allahumma sta'an, Allahumma sta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. We find that Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he says that today in this dunya, you have amal and there's no hisab. There's no accountability. But tomorrow when you pass away, you will have hisab and there's no opportunity for any amal whatsoever. Hereafter, it will only be hisab and no amal. In dunya, you have amal, but there's no hisab. And so do good actions. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, when they describe him, they would describe that he had like these lines on his cheek that because of his excessive crying and tearing, you know, there were like these lines on his face. And the same with Abdullah ibn Abbas, when they describe him, that, you know, you could see the remnants of the lines, you know, that the effect on his face because of the constant tearing. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Umar the giant, he goes to Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala and he asks Hudhayfa, that tell me, you know whether the munafiqeen, you know the names of the munafiqeen, etc. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned it to you. Let me know, please tell me. Am I from amongst those? Is my name on that list? Please tell me. Imagine Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Allahumma sta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim, he talks about sin. And he talks about the harmful effects, the ill effects of sinning. And he mentions from amongst them that Adam alayhi salam, he was taken out of paradise. Hawa was taken out of paradise. Why? Because of one sin, the sin of desire. The sin of desire. They desired and they ate of it and they were removed from paradise. Paradise is full of pleasure. Paradise is full of ni'mah and bounties, etc. And they were removed from that. Allahumma musta'an. What made Iblis so detested? He sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What got the people of Salih alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam, etc., etc.? What earned them that destruction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them? What? They sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about Abu Darda, and he says that how insignificant people are before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they abandon the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they make and they fall into those matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited upon them. We find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states that inna rajul la yuhram ar-rizq bi dhanb yusibuh, that a person is prevented from his rizq because of the sins that he's earned. We find that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that when zina spreads, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send certain sicknesses and illnesses upon the people that was not known to the people before them. Look at HIV, AIDS, etc. And how many others, COVID-19 and others, etc. That we are finding illnesses and sicknesses that people before us never knew about, never heard about, never experienced. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. And you know, and we know, and we all know that how muntashir, how widespread the matter of zina is nowadays. Allahumma musta'an. Left, right, and center, subhanAllah. You cannot look before you cannot look right, left. Zina everywhere. Zina of the eyes, the full zina. Allahumma musta'an. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. We find that Ibn al-Qayyim then also discusses at length the matter of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar. And he talks and he mentions certain narrations that were people pious, righteous, wali, awliya, mashallah, people might have thought, and they were destroyed by Allah. And we ask, but why? This man was in the masjid all the time and he was always doing good. Why was he destroyed? And it was said, there was not a day that he even frowned when those people were committing all of those sins. It never affected him in the least bit. He was completely desensitized to it. The riba, the zina, the haram, the liwat, all of these sins, etc., was completely desensitized. He didn't do it himself, but there was no amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. There was no ordering the good and forbidding the evil. We know in the last few years, in the last few years. For example, some of the Middle Eastern countries, countries that we would never expected some crazy level of sin on a mass communal level. Sin has always been there. Zina has always been there under the carpet. People do quietly, da-da, etc. But when people reach a level of mujahara, where they announce this sin, where it's open and it's for everyone to come and enjoy, Allahu musta'an, mushkila, mushkila, Allahu musta'an. And so, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions those narrations that these people, they didn't even bat an eyelid when it came to all of the sin that was being perpetrated. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we find that Anas ibn Malik, he mentions that you people during his time, that you commit certain actions, certain sin, that you people think it is so insignificant. But we used to regard it as a major matter during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so that's why they would say, don't look at the size of your sin, but it's a small sin. Rather look at the one against whom you have sinned, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah musta'an. Ibn Sirin, he was somebody in his life, he had a lot of debts, especially towards the end of his life, had a lot of debts, and he even was jailed because he had so many debts. And he would say that, I know why I have all of these debts. It's because of a sin that I committed 40 years ago. 40 years ago, you know, if we might commit a sin, and 10 minutes later, something happens, we fall down, we broke an arm. Oh, subhanAllah, you know, because I committed that sin, that's why this happened. But if something happens to us, we don't think about, well, maybe this is because I did something a year ago. Maybe because of that orphan's wealth that I stole 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Maybe because of the inheritance of my sister that I ate up, etc. That's why this happened. Even though it's happening 10 years ago. Look at Ibn Sirin, how he would think. Allahumma musta'an. They would think rather differently from us. Huh? Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Dhunnun, he mentions, Man khana Allah fi sirk. Hataka Allahu sitrahu fil alaniya. Allahu musta'an. That the one who he breaks that protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private, that he sins in private and people think of him, mashallah, he's the wali of Allah and he's this and that, etc., etc. But in private, you know, he's only putting on a false front. He's just, you know, putting on a false front for the people. But the reality of him is far different from that. It's like the munafiq, Allahumma musta'an, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose such a person. Allah will expose such a person, right? Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Ibn al-Qayyim continues and he mentions that, he mentions from the ill effects of sin that number one, you will be deprived of the benefit of good knowledge. Hirman al-ilm. That Imam al-Shafi'i, for example, the famous story, Imam Malik said to him, I see that you know you are somebody who's smart, etc. Do not put out the light of Allah by sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the famous lines of poetry, Shakawtu ila waki'in su'a hifzi, fa'arshadani ila tarkil ma'asi, waqala inna al-ilma nurun wa nurullahi la yu'ta li'asi. I complained to waki' that my memory is not as good as it was. And so he told me, فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِ وَقَالَ إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. He said that knowledge, it is light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah's light is not given to the one who sins. He also mentions that, you know, when it comes to knowledge, there's one matter which is knowledge and the other is basira. You have insight. You need to think deep about the matter. You need to ponder over this matter. You need to extract something from this matter. This is basira, insight. The person who sins, then this person is prevented from that basira. Number two, he talks about that you are prevented from rizq. That if taqwa brings, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa, Allah makes a way out for him. Taqwa brings rizq, and the opposite will keep the rizq away. He talks about that. Number three, you have this like detachment in your heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This wahsha, that you feel you are lonely. You feel things are just not right. You know, you have this uneasiness of heart. Allahu musta'an. This is part of the effects of sinning. And what happens is that sometimes when this happens, that you feel you are so distant from Allah, then what happens? You don't turn and go back to Allah, but rather you continue in being further distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. Why? Because one sin brings upon another sin, and the next brings upon the next. goodness brings upon goodness, and sin brings sin. He also talks about that sinning, it brings upon a washa between yourself and people. Some of the people of the past would say that I noticed that my wife and even my animal, my donkey, my horse, I notice its behavior is not good. Not something with regards to the horse and the wife, rather because of my sin. I noticed that my wife's temperament, I noticed that the horse, and I noticed it's giving me problems because of my sin. Look at how they would think and how we think. Allah musta'an. Allah creates difficulties for this person. Sins. There's this darkness on the heart. There's these spots upon the heart. And it increases that until eventually the hardness of the heart leads to a dead heart. That further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine, there's one who sins, and the mujahirun, the one who goes out, people don't even know about your sin. And you go, you know what, I've done this. And you put it on Facebook, you put it on Instagram, look at me and look at what I'm doing, etc. That you publicize your sins. He says that this is now when your heart has reached a level that it's dead. It's dead. One of the mashayikh, he mentions that whose heart is in a worse of state. Two individuals are walking. And they are walking to, let's say, for example, zina, some haram. And one of them, suddenly, his face was turned into the face of a swine or a donkey. Masch. It was completely deformed. His face was completely deformed. And his friend looked at that and saw that, and whoa, and what happened, and how, and why, and but. And that guy falls down dead. And the friend, he continues walking to the haram. He continues walking to that zina. So the scholar says, who's got a worse of deformation? The one whose face was turned into the swine or into the donkey, or the second guy whose heart is dead? And he says it's the second. The first one, this was physical, etc. Whereas the second guy, his heart is dead. I mean, he saw all of this here. He got the risala, the message from Allah, wasalat. It reached him. He saw something before. But he continued. He continued towards that sin. Allah musta'an. Allah forgive us. Allah forgive us. Astaghfirullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim talks about that you're in a state of your state of heedlessness, that there's this mask of the heart, that now your heart, when we talk about istafti qalbak fa inna aftaka an-nas wa aftuk, that ask your heart whether people give you fatawa, etc. Go back to your heart and ask your heart. But this heart here is dead. It will not guide the person in any way. This heart here will not show you the truth from falsehood. This heart is completely dead. There's this rana ala qulubihim. There's this ran, there's this rust, etc., which has covered up the heart. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. The one who turns away from the remembrance of Allah, that his life in this dunya would be a wretched life, and he will be resurrected in a state of blindness. He talks about that you are prevented from good deeds. You are prevented from good deeds. It's one of the harmful effects of sin, that Allah closes up all the doors of good for you. The doors to good are closed for you. Subhanallah, Jayid. That one should make shukr to Allah. That, people message you, people ask you for assistance or this or that, etc. Allah is opening up doors of good for you. That's a good sign. Whereas the person who sins and sins and sins, Allah closes up the doors of good for that person here. Barakah is removed in your knowledge. Barakah is removed from your life, from your time, from your food, from your risk, etc., etc. And the opposite of barakah is the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn al-Qayyim talks about those people who earn the curse of Allah, those people who deal in riba, those people who are involved in zina, in all types of zina, the one who steals, the one who consumes alcohol, the one who swears his parents, the one who commits shirk, the person who causes a wife to be disobedient towards her husband, or causes friction between the husband and wife, and eventually makes this wife, no, tell him this and tell him that, and break away from him, and go to your mother's house and ask him for a divorce, etc. The one who spreads facade between the husband and wife, the one who engages in anal sex, Ibn al-Qayyim mentions, the one who breaks family ties, the one who falsely accuses chaste Muslim women of zina, Allah musta'an. The one who involves himself in bribes, all of these people here are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, from amongst the harmful effects of sin is that you lose your sense of jealousy, your sense of ghira. that if your wife, if your daughter, you know, she's involved in haram, she's engaging in haram, she's just laughing and chatting with men out there, and her dressing is inappropriate, you don't worry about that. There's a ghira in your heart that even animals have, you don't even have that. Part of the harmful effects of sin. That this has been taken away from you, Allah musta'an, Jayid. And you yourself, Allah mentions in the Noble Quran that Allah will forget you and you forget yourself. You forget yourself. So Allah forget me. Okay. What does it mean that I forget myself? Allah mentions, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. That Allah made them forget themselves. What does this mean? He says that this person here becomes like an embarrassment. That you don't take care with regards to yourself. You walk around, maybe you're not dressed properly. People turn you into a laughing stock. People are embarrassed to be around you. But you don't realize that. You don't understand that. You're living out of your vehicle. You've got money, you've got this, etc. But you've been disgraced. You're living out of your vehicle. Maybe your underwear is hanging there and stuff like that. Allahu musta'an. The doors are there for you to make use of. You've got kids, you've got family, you've got this, you've got money. Subhanallah, you've like embarrassed yourself. And you don't even know that. You've forgotten, you know, your own self-worth and your self-respect. Allahu musta'an. Jayid. You've forgotten yourself. You become a laughing stock. You are foolish. You don't care about yourself. Allahu musta'an. Jayid. He mentions from amongst the harmful effects of sin that you become a slave to shaitan. Not a slave of Allah, rather you're going to be a slave in this dunya, whether you like it or not, whether it be to the marketplace, the mall, the media, we're all slaves of something. We are slaves of something. Rather you be a slave of Allah than being a slave of any of those others. Allahu musta'an. And then lastly, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, he also mentions, well, from amongst the harmful effects of sin is that even in this dunya, if you are caught out, then there are penalties that will be applied upon you. The penalty for consumption of alcohol, for zina, for liwat, etc., etc. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this is a quick summary of the first 200 pages of Adda wa Dawa. I'm not sure if it's been translated into the English language. It's a beautiful, beautiful book by Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. As I was mentioning to my family, that generally, you know, it's a good idea when you read a book that you have a pen with you and you underline important points and stuff like that, subhanallah. And as for this book here, you know, you read a normal book there, every third page, fourth page, you might underline something, 10 pages, you underline one line, there's a good point here. Whereas this book, subhanAllah, every single page, full of fawaid, full of gems, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the speaker even before those who are being spoken to. Ibn al-Qayyim goes at length talking about the du'at and talking about the ulama and those who order people to do good, but they themselves do not do it. He mentions the first three who will enter the hellfire: the martyr, the one who gave millions in charity, the alim, the scholar, etc. And he says that these people here, they resemble the anbiya. So the best of people who walked the face of this earth were the anbiya. And the ulama, these ulama here, etc., they resembled the anbiya. The one who gave millions in charity, etc., they resembled the best of people and the siddiqeen, etc. The martyrs are from amongst the best of people. And so this martyr in this hadith resembled those people, but they falsely resemble them. So he says, ajib, subhanAllah. He says that the ulama, they are supposed to be the best of people. Why? Because they are copying. They are the inheritors of the best of people who were the anbiya. So Ibn al-Qayyim, ajib point, subhanAllah. He says that this alim is going to the hellfire first. Why? Because he copied, he resembled, he is an inheritor, supposed inheritor of the anbiya. And so he's supposed to be from amongst the best of people. But if you're doing that falsely, then you are from the worst of the people. Look at Musaylima al-Kadhab, the false prophet. He's from amongst the worst of people. Why? Not just because he was a liar, but because he was a liar who was imitating the best of people falsely. So you turn out to be from amongst the worst of people. You're a martyr. Martyr is supposed to be from amongst the best of people, but you are falsely claiming to be a martyr. So you are from amongst the worst of people. Allah musta'an. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. Our brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them safe around the globe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this da'. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a dawa, a treatment for this matter, and to remove this da' from humanity, from the globe, not just from the Muslims, from wherever it might be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant people the tawfiq to take the lesson from this matter, for them to reflect over their lives past and what's to come. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all khair and barakah in this world and in the hereafter. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.